Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. We're so glad to have you with us here this evening on Ask Herbal Health Expert Susan Weed, a two-hour radio show each Tuesday night. Herbal medicine is people's medicine, simple, safe, effective. Please bring your curiosity and health questions. Susan will enlighten, surprise, and delight you. I know most of you know Susan Weed already. She's my mom, so I know her. But for those of you who have not yet met Susan, I'd like to share. She is the author of the Wise Woman Herbal series, wonderful books on women's health and herbal medicine, including Wise Woman Herbal for the Childbearing Year, Breast Cancer, Breast Health! The Wise Woman Way, Healing Wise, The Wise Woman Herbal, New Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way, Down There, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way.
And Abundantly Well, Seven Medicines, The Wise Woman Way, the newest book in the Wise Woman Herbal series.
So exciting.
In addition to being the editor at Ash Tree Publishing and writing her books, Susan is the director of the Wise Woman Center in Woodstock, New York. The Wise Woman Center is open to the public on appointment-only basis. She offers weekend workshops, intensives, and apprenticeships throughout the season. Susan is also available to you online via wisewomanmentor.com. There you can go and view her weekly e-zine. You can subscribe to receive a notification via email each week, or you could join her mentorship program. Susan also offers distance learning correspondence courses and online courses.
TheWiseWomanSchool.com. Join us there for colorful, instructive, easy video courses, including Easy Herbal Medicine with Susan Weed, Happy Knees, a cancer diagnosis, adaptogens for long life, and Abundantly Well companion course, wisewomanschool.com.
You can also just go to her website, susanweed.com, where you will find thousands of pages online with recipes, articles, art features, and so much more. Well, for now, let's see what Susan has to share with us this evening. Thank you, and welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Justine, and welcome, Sarah Ellen.
Hi, Susan. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, I am doing splendidly. I am standing by the pink and white amaryllis, which is blooming with three big blossoms. Each blossom is bigger than my spread-out hand. And now I am walking into the other room where the red with white stripes amaryllis is re-blooming, also with three huge, beautiful flowers bigger than my hand across. Thank you, amaryllis. And, of course, daffodils everywhere, because Corey and I have been planting daffodils for years, and daffodils, love them. They always, always repay you. And the deer hate them. Ha ha, hee hee, take that. So, and the garlic that I planted in the fall is all up. Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, the most exciting thing of all is that as of midnight tonight, the Red Clover Conference begins. you've already registered for the Red Clover Conference at midnight tonight, the first of the presentations will be available to you, and I am really looking forward to it. One of the things that I really liked about last year's conference was the way Kathy Cavill started us off. Did you like that last year?
Loved it. And from what I hear, little tidbits, it's going to be special this year.
And Kathy Cavill is starting us off again. Thank you. And so if you haven't already signed up, this is really, truly your last chance. You saw Justine took me in hand and said, you can't give this away anymore, Susan. You have to charge for it. And when it starts, boop, the price goes up to the full price. So that's what's going to happen at midnight tonight. Right. So if you haven't, you know what? It's not too late to make a short. I had sworn that I wasn't going to make any more. I wasn't going to read anything else. And then I found this monograph on Red Clover by Feather Jones. Now, how could I resist that, right?
Right. Aww.
She gave such a great presentation for the Hypericum Conference, so I said, well, we have to include her here. And then I also found a book by an MD who was talking about how important Red Clover is for women who are concerned about breast cancer and how the estrogens in plants and red clover never accumulate in the body. They go in, they block the receptor sites from xenoestrogens and estradiol and any what he calls chemical estrogens, and then they leave. He says, so it's really important that you get them consistently.
Wow.
Exactly. Wow, right? So I had to read about that, too.
Oh, my God. I will say, Red Clover, I think I've said before, is my favorite infusion. It has been from the beginning and all the way through. And I could just chug it. It just feels like so replenishing in every way for me. I mean, I love the others, but Red Clover just every single way, just, oh my goodness, I love Red Clover. So I'm so curious to see what all unfolds in this conference. It's going to be, I know, magical, charmed, everything, because she's so supporting. She's so nurturing, and she does it in such a way that she doesn't demand to be seen. She just allows you to feel her through and through, and that strength is so rooted. So I'm excited. I'm very excited for Red Clover.
Yes. So one of the things about Red Clover is that it makes an association with bacteria, which can take nitrogen out of the air and put it in the soil, thus enriching the soil for all the other plants. And it turns out that red clover is very good at creating signaling enzymes to signal to the bacteria and to the mycorrhizal population that they want this to happen, that they want to be in association. And they do this in part by exuding these isoflavones into the soil, estrogens into the soil, said one source, which causes this to happen. And it turns out, gee, it probably happens in cell tissues too.
Wow.
Which is just what we feel from the red clover, right?
I feel like that's just what I said. I'm like, from the ground up all the way to the roots. Like, that's, yes, absolutely. That's exactly. Yeah. Yes.
So when we're drinking red clover, it's like we're able to, like, take the nitrogen out of the air and fix it.
Yes. Truly. Like, if there was, like, a Wonder Woman and I got to drink her up, she'd look like red clover. Because she, it's like, that's how red clover makes me feel. She's so amazing. Such resilience. And not, yeah, just amazing. I love red clover.
Me too. Also, today, I found that I was giving myself a big thank you, Susan, a big note of appreciation to myself for having the Zoom sessions. Because at the Red Clover Conference, we get what we would get at any conference. We get really good presentations.
Mm.
But we also get what we could never get at a conference, which is an hour with the presenter.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I found myself really looking forward to that part of it. It's like, yes, not only have I spent this time investigating, you know, and getting into Red Clover, but so have these other people, and now we all get to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. So true. I completely agree. Yeah, it just brings it to the present moment, even though it's there forever, and you can refer back to all of it, including the live Zoom sessions that will be recorded forever. But it's just the live Zooms bring everything into the moment, and it really feels like we're participating together, and it's like the best of both worlds, being at the live conference and having it available and accessed forever.
All of that until midnight tonight for a mere $50, gang.
Yeah.
And then midnight, it goes up to the full price of, oh, gasp, it's so expensive, $89. You can tell. Justine and I really wrestled about this. She gave a little, I gave a little, so it's $89 full price.
Still super reasonable for all the hours.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
especially, you know, compared to the other ones. So, that's, yes.
Yeah.
And the people that are going to be presenting always amaze me.
Mm.
Each and every one of them brings such an absolute unique intelligence, heartedness, somatic experience, all right? Like the red clover, these presenters reach deep and reach far.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I emailed the silk screening place called Sunshine Teas, and I said, yes, will I be wearing a red clover t-shirt tomorrow? And then I remembered, oh, yeah, right, they're closed on Monday. Hooray for people who take care of themselves. So this morning, bright and early, I got a message from them, and they said, oh, we're so sorry, but we had this, like, huge job that just, like, totally took all of our time and our energy and our equipment, but we hope to get a proof to you tomorrow. So I can probably promise that before the conference is over, you will see me wearing the Red Clover shirt. Of course, what I really wanted was not only for me to wear one, but you to be wearing one, too, to get one out to you. But
aww.
I'm not sure at this point if I'm going to be able to make that happen. We'll see. We'll see how quickly they can actually do it. It's a small batch. I'm only doing 100. So that's the word on the Red Clover t-shirts, the long and meandering path of the Red Clover goddess.
She's beautiful when she finally appears on those shirts. I'll be so excited to have mine, and I was saying I'll give you my address, so if you're able to mail me one, I'll wear it at the
Yes. I want that was in the back of my mind. Thank you for bringing it to the front. Please do email me your new address. Because as I was having this fantasy of sending you the shirt, I thought, you can't send her a shirt. You don't even know where she is. What? Switzerland and Florida. That will get there fast, Susan. Come on. The stuff in between is the important stuff, with the numbers.
There you go. That's right. All those
there you go. So you'll zip me an email with that. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
For sure.
For sure. So, what else is going on? What's going on with you?
Oh, we have been staying busy. You've been playing in my head about senses and your decision not to have them because we have been investing a bit of labor, my husband and I, in putting up some senses for the Godies. It is looking really great, and I think they will have a very safe and secure area that they can be reliably in when we're not shepherding them around and chaperoning them around. So we've been doing that. I've also been over and visited my mom on the coast, and I noticed the elderberries are blooming here already. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, and just to see elderberries here already, I was so excited. So it's just like a little Florida wonderland for me right now.
Yay. Yeah, the Florida elder is so tall. It strikes me as being very tall because the frost doesn't push it back. Like the elder here, the top's always killed by the frost.
Right. Yes, this definitely was tall because it caught my attention when I was driving. And then I was like, is it? Could it be? And then I was, of course, paying closer and closer attention, and certainly it was because, there they were on my drive, very, very many of them. So it was beautiful, beautiful to see, very tall, as you suggested, or taller than what I would be used to seeing in Illinois.
Yes, where it's cold, where they get, frosted. And the Florida elder, the wood is more brittle.
Oh, interesting.
I've had it really just like snap right off in my hand.
Wow.
With what I would consider not very much pressure. Like, usually I can grab hold of an elder branch and draw it gently toward myself so that I can harvest the flower head.
Oh, for sure. I've never had an elder branch break in my hand harvesting, ever.
Ever, right?
In Illinois. Right, never.
Right, where it's cold. But in Florida, I have had them break in my hand more than once.
Wow. Interesting. Wow, well, I hope to get up close and personal soon.
Elderflower champagne, hooray.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So how about you? What's going on in the Catskills?
Wow, well, as I said, my garlic is very tall. Soon I will have to take the tops off of it. The peach blossoms are almost gone, and the peach is leafing out. In fact, just this past weekend, I said to Michael, take a last look. Soon, it will just be green leaves, and we won't be able to see anything.
Wow. Yeah, it's so interesting,
right?
The fruit trees. It's such a show, and then it's like, wait, piece of green.
Right,
and
but
then...
I'm not just that tree. I mean the whole landscape. This weekend, when I was out on goat watch, a squirrel probably dislodged an oak leaf, which fluttered through the air and landed on my lap. And this oak leaf was perfect in every detail and no bigger than my thumbnail.
So, oh, baby leaves, you can still see everything. The green is just coming on the trees. Flowers are out.
And I really took that, you know, it's May Day tomorrow. And so that's, you know, that the celebration of the fairies coming to join us, the celebration of what goes on in nature, right? The birds are singing. What are they singing? Choose me, choose me. The frogs are singing. What are they singing? Choose me, right? The flowers are out there, you know, with the bees in them going, I'm choosing you, you know. So May Day is the day to celebrate that, to celebrate that juiciness, that perhaps bit of wildness in yourself by... If you usually eat some wild things in your diet, tomorrow see if you can eat everything wild. If you don't usually eat wild things in your diet, start tomorrow. The very first thing you put in your mouth, let it be something wild, even if it's a dandelion flower. Because you probably didn't plant it in your lawn. So we're going to count that as wild, right? Although you have moved south of the range of dandelion.
It's crazy not to see them right now. And it's, I love that you're bringing it up. My brother texted a picture of his son, who's only 3, and he's standing there blowing a dandelion. And like, wow, they're already in seed head up there because they're in Chicago. And behind him are all the yellow dandelions. So sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But none here. Lots of shepherd's purse that's already going to seed, though.
Yep. No, you are just too far south for the dandelion. She likes it just a little bit cold in the winter. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
she doesn't do copies. Justine bought a dandelion, and I think the place was called the Ark, and planted it in Costa Rica. And it looked at her and went, "You must be joking."
Oh, my goodness. Even dandelions.
Sure, just. Hello, I'm dandelion. Come on.
Worth a shot.
Worth a shot. So we're continuing. This is the time to spread compost. Spread that compost, Susan. Get that compost. I usually make a compost pile every 6 months. And that means every 6 months I have to move compost to make room for the new compost pile. So especially since I live on, as I call it, you know, my two choices of soil are solid rock or broken rock. And the solid rock's a little better because at least the soil you lay down, the compost you put on it stays put, whereas in the broken rock it sifts down, so you have to really keep putting more and more. But it certainly creates a very lush environment for the plants. And all of the house plants are going, come on, taste outside now. And I'm going, okay, all right, I will.
Aww.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, let's see. We have a very interesting guest tonight. Da-da-da-da-da. And we were looking at all these pictures of past apprentices. Oh, what a great time we were having looking at all of that. Now, let's see, Susan. Here, and here is our guest, Janice Gallant, an artist, writer, mystic, and a guide for women's personal empowerment. She's the founder of Soulfully Aligned Women. She is an acclaimed artist and guides women to access their mystic within. Stick with us until 9 o'clock East Coast time, or come back and hear what Janice has to say. Anything else you want to talk about before we start answering questions?
No thanks, Susan. I am all set. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Let's go then.
All right. So I am already seeing three hands that have been raised by pressing one. So everyone listening, if you would like to speak live with Susan this evening, all you need to do is press one. That will raise your hand in the queue. We'll see you in there. And when it's your turn, I'll announce your area code and open your line to speak live with Susan. So without further ado, we'll go to our first raised hand dialed in from the 360 area code. From the 360, you are live with Susan.
Hello, Susan. This is Mokihana from the 360 area code.
Hello, Mokihana.
Hello. I would like your thoughts on ways that I may be missing to nourish my skin. I'm a 76-year-old Hawaiian woman. I live in the Pacific Northwest where it gets very wet and very polleny at this time of year. And it's doing that right now. And for the very first time, my skin is responding with red rashes and red rashes frequently and in lots of different places. I'm an infusion woman, so I do take and drink our infusions, and I increased and added linden, which is very, very wonderful. I wonder if there's some other people's medicine that I might include as I go through this. What I consider, like, Snake is giving me some information about needing to shed some old skin, because it seems that my head, my body is, it gets covered with these, like, small volcanoes. You can feel the heat rising, and then I'll have these little red spots, and they kind of travel on my arms and in my soft, on the soft tissues. And, yeah, so I'm just calling to see if
How long does it go on for? Minutes, hours, days?
It usually goes on for minutes. When it starts to get red, I made a nice pint of calendula oil, and I dribble it on the red spots, and usually within a few minutes, the red spots, or the, it's like a blush, it settles, and it's not as hot. But sometimes after a really, if I've had a busy day and I've been out and it's been really blowy, at night it gets sometimes it's painful. The red gets painful, so I use a meditative way to go to sleep, and sometimes I take a dropper of osha root to calm me, and she helps me do that to calm, and then I go to sleep, and so it's not usually hours. It's more like minutes at a time. It's just that it spreads, and that's what I'm wondering about. It just kind of spreads.
Well, the fact that it's not persistent rules out any kind of infective agent. So there's no bacteria or fungus or anything that we have to worry about here.
Okay.
The fact that it disappears pretty rapidly also rules out what I think of as mechanical causes, like volcanic ash in the air or a reaction to something in soap. Those kinds of triggers. Because usually when those things trigger something, it stays around for a while, and especially because you keep getting exposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is much, as you say, much closer to home. It's a little flare, in a way,
mm-hmm.
of distress.
Yeah.
And one of my teachers was very clear with us that even though it's always wise to ask, is this a message for me, that one should also be willing to receive messages from the planet and from the life forms
yeah.
on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I want to not see the blame in what's happening, but to see the connection in what's happening. And
mm-hmm.
it's so easy for us to, in subtle or not so subtle ways, blame ourselves for what's happening and think that because we're to blame, therefore we can also control it and get rid of it. And you're doing an excellent job of dealing with the manifestation of it. And it really resonates to me when you said little red volcanoes, with the little red
mm-hmm.
volcanoes of war and injustice and women losing rights.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's enough to make anybody
mm-hmm.
break out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I do my best not to expose myself to very much of it.
Me too.
But even without exposing myself to it, I know it's there.
Yeah.
And my
yeah.
body knows it's there. And what she said was that this is also a gift, that we mm-hmm. can feel with our own bodies what the body of the earth is experiencing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't always feel like a gift when it's happening, thank you very much, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the feeling, you have the volcanic, the little eruptions.
Little eruptions, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and my...
Little eruptions of war and, you know, people not treating people like they would like to be treated, or any
yes.
variation on that at all. So I personally really like Witch Hazel.
Ah.
And when I had something like that going on, in addition to the herbs, ointments, and the greases and stuff, I really like witch hazel, because to me, witch hazel is cooling.
Uh-huh. Oh,
and
good idea.
Also like that witch hazel grows as a group.
She grows
so
as what?
The witch hazel tree always grows as a group. It doesn't grow as a single tree
oh.
in nature.
Right. Ah. Oh.
So it brings that to your soothing and cooling these eruptions, these distress signals. Witch hazel always grows where it's wet, not not that you would get your feet wet when you're with a witch hazel, but you can be sure there's water on the ground if witch hazel is growing there.
Huh. That feels nice, witch hazel. I keep her.
Yes.
I keep her around for cooling things. I hadn't thought of her though. That's that's really nice.
And here on the East Coast, people witch for water using a witch hazel fork.
Yeah, right.
To direct them to where the water is underground.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Sure.
That's a nice. All right.
Thank you so much for your call and for your being.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Good night.
Very much.
Green
pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. And if you have a question and would like to speak live with Susan this evening, press 1, and that will get your hand raised in the queue. At this time, there are 4 hands that are raised, so we'll go to the next caller in the 310 area code. In the 310, you are live with Susan.
I hope that's me. This is Jean Marie. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Jean Marie. It is you.
How are you?
Oh, I am just so looking forward to the Red Clover Conference starting.
Oh, I know. You were talking about, you know, I miss Red Clover. I used to drink Red Clover infusion and tea. And what happened when I went into menopause, Red Clover, along with oat straw and oatmeal, started to make me break out in cystic acne. I had a feeling it was the phytoestrogens, potentially, that were doing that. But I love it. I still love it. I'll hug it. I don't drink it, but I hug it. You got to love red clover. And a little amount, like on salad or something. I remember you teaching that years ago that you could put little red clover blossoms on your salad. So that, and they make a wonderful decoration, and they're so healthy.
Certainly are. Red clover doesn't actually contain any estrogen.
It does not. Okay, I wonder what it is. Maybe
it contains isoflavones.
Oh, okay.
And isoflavones can be turned by the body into estrogen if you have the right gut flora and if you need them.
Oh, okay.
In fact, it's recommended for situations in which you want to lower estrogen, like endometriosis. As it actually acts as an antagonist towards stronger estrogens because there's just one estrogen receptor site. And if your body's capable of making weak estrogens from red clover, then those bind to the site, and the strong ones, which can cause cancer and all kinds of other problems, don't have a chance.
Wow. I wonder what it was about red clover then that suddenly, because I had no issue before menopause, and all of a sudden during menopause, it would be like red clover equals on my forehead. I don't know why that is.
I hear you. And I also know that the reason we do double-blind placebo-controlled studies is because it's almost impossible to know cause and effect.
Oh, that's true, too. That's true, too. I spent about a year and a half because I found that, like, I used to eat watermelon, and then I couldn't eat watermelon. Like, glycemic loads seemed to be too much for me. Or, you know, and it did seem to adjust the problem because I was against doing hormones or antibiotics for the obvious reasons. So I just looked at my diet. And, of course, I started doing nourishing herbal infusions around that time, too, which were phenomenal and still are phenomenal because I do them religiously all the week long.
Good for you. And you might want to try, you know, certainly putting oat straw back and cautiously putting some red clover back. Once it's available again, Clover Conference has made red clover unavailable on the market. Everybody's brought it all up. Up. A good thing I harvested a bunch.
The adage, everybody wants her, I guess. She's very
everybody wants red clover.
I contracted COVID for the very first time last November. So I did take a test and it was positive. And about a month later, my hair started coming out in clumps. And I read that telogen effluvium has now reached about 40% of reported cases of COVID, that people are saying telogen effluvium, some level of telogen effluvium, hair coming out. Thank goodness I went to my dermatologist. I got diagnosed, but she did a pull test. It was negative. But my scalp is a little bit dry.
You did a what test?
I went to a dermatologist.
Uh-huh. And she did a what test?
A pull test. That's where you take about 40 to 50 hairs in different parts of the head, and you determine whether or not the hair seems to still be coming in larger amounts. And if the pull test is negative, it means your telogen effluvium either has ended or is coming to an end, generally speaking. That's how that works. Fascinating stuff, really. But one of the things she commented, too, is that my scalp is dry, and I have noticed I've had a bit of an itchy scalp, and I do use a filter, and we do have harder water, so I've been working on filtering that out with tourmaline stones. But I thought, if you had any ideas, I do my nettle infusions. I do drink horsetail tea from time to time. I'm looking at the herbal for the menopausal years, and I'm realizing, my gosh, everything I'm eating, I'm getting all my vitamins and minerals. Yay. And I'm not.
Yay.
I'm cooking. Everything is cooking. So I wondered if you had any advisement or thoughts about how to manage coming out of telogen effluvium, growing your hair healthy, growing our gardens, and also for dry scalp.
Comfrey.
Because I'm doing comfrey infusion. You mean like actually like oil?
Sounds good to me. And you could then use it as a scalp rinse.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. It's really wonderful. It's wonderful topically. Very strengthening to the tissues.
Cool.
I'm sorry, what?
I never thought to do comfrey in a hair rinse. I do nettle sometimes. I never thought to do comfrey. And I remember you doing a video where you're like, comfrey is comfort. Which is like
comforting.
So doing it as a hair rinse, that's interesting. I never thought to do that. I like that.
Yeah. And
that's the infusion you're talking about.
A good idea is get in the shower, the bath, or whatever you're doing, and do whatever you do to your hair.
Yeah.
And put the comfrey on it, and then do whatever you want to do to your body.
Wonderful.
So that the herb has some time to, like, soak into your scalp, right?
Yeah.
Like, don't get in and scrub your body and then do your hair. Do the whole hair thing first, and then do your body so that the comfrey infusion can linger.
I could do that. In fact, before I even get in the shower, I could put some comfrey on my hair and then let it sit there for a while before I go in the shower.
Yes.
Ooh,
I like it.
That. Ooh, ideas. Oh, you have such great ideas. I always can turn to you.
Thank you so much.
So much joy. Well, I'm also dealing with a lot of emotional issues. I've had a lot of, like, I'd say a lot of grieving over the last couple of years, and I'm working to let that go because that's part of the cycle of life, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
When we grow our gardens, we have to let some things die, don't we?
One of the secret names for where I live is Life and Death Farm.
Oh, that's good. I like that. You know, you'd be very proud of me. Besides my hands where I use a saponified coconut, I've eliminated soap from my life. Remember what you taught me? You said, what would happen? Mm-hmm. You said, what would happen if I picked everything off my forest floor? And I said, it would die. And you said, that's right, it would die. You know, you said, think of soap almost like an antibiotic. You're killing everything. You know, don't do that.
Yay you.
Yeah, we don't cleanse, we liberate.
The Liberation Garden.
I'm so excited for all your upcoming events. I hope I can make it some. It would be so wonderful to see you again.
It certainly would. I would like that so much.
Big hug.
Just big hug to you. Dream blessings. Good night.
Well, big blessings, Susan. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it looks like there are, I think there's four call. Yeah, okay, one just was gone and is back. Four callers have raised their hand by pressing one. And it looks like the next caller is from the 603 area code. From the 603, you are live with Susan.
Hi, Susan. I have
Hi.
I'm so happy to hear you and talk about the Red Clover Conference because I haven't signed up yet. So I hope my computer cooperates so I can sign up before midnight after I finish with you. It's been on the
fritz. Me too.
So I have two things I wanted to ask you about, please. I've been out in the yard doing a lot of weeding, and I thought I was being careful, but I got what I think is poison ivy all over my hands. So
when you say you were being careful, what does that mean in terms of poison ivy?
Well, we had a lot of
Do you recognize poison ivy vines without the leaves?
No, but I figured that they were there because I've seen poison ivy vines elsewhere, and I was pulling out the wild roses. There were just far too many, and they were, like, choking off the trees. It was just – so I was pulling out the wild roses, and I thought that there was some poison ivy. They can get really thick. And I had gloves on, so I was trying to be careful, but when I pulled the wild roses, those other branches, which I think were mature poison ivy branches, must have gotten through. I don't know. Somehow, I know. So anyway, I couldn't find my.
Is it on your hands?
It's it's all over my hands. And the thing is, it's been about 3 or 4 days, and I was having tremendous scoliosis back pain, so I wasn't able to go anywhere. But I had at home what my husband had used. Some kind of lidocaine cream. He also said when he was in the service, they recommended that stuff that you put on, that people put
calamine
on.
Calamine lotion.
No, calamine I had. I tried that. That didn't help much. It was very short-lived. I tried calamine first. And then the stuff that people put on their anal, what is it, that stuff that people, I can't think of it. But anyway, I never tried. I didn't
Preparation
try.
H.
What was that?
Preparation H.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Anyway, I didn't try that, but finally I was able to get a ride to go to the health food store today, and I picked up finally some Roos Talks, the homeopathic 30C. Because I used to use that when I was bringing up my children, and I was all out. And on the way home, it already started to get relief. And I was looking for it, but, you know, I finally got it today. I was wondering, I was going to call you because I didn't know if I'd be able to get to the store to get a ride to the store to give me Roos Talks. So I wanted to call you for poison ivy to see what you would automatically do. You would probably use comfrey. Maybe this is another skin. I mean, this is obviously another skin thing, like the previous caller was having skin issues. And comfrey was saying
that's very different. My favorite remedy for the rash of poison ivy is jewelweed broth.
Jewelweed broth?
Mm-hmm.
You are amazing. But of course I knew that before. Jewelweed broth. So you...
Yeah.
But the jewelweed
is a wee bit early in the season, but you can give it a try now. usually,
I don't see any jewel weed, Susan. It's not up yet.
I'm saying it's a little early in the season for it.
Yeah.
But usually what I do is later on in the year and then freeze it. Or instead of making broth, I cook it in witch hazel.
Cook in witch hazel.
So I warm up the witch hazel, put the jewel weed in it, let it, you know, kind of cook together.
Uh-oh, you disappeared. Can you hear me? I can't hear you. Oh, no. We got disconnected.
How about now? Can you hear me?
Oh, I can now. I don't know what happened.
Okay, good.
Could you hear me before?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you're back. Oh, thank God. Okay, I'm sorry. You said to heat up the witch hazel first, correct?
Heat up the witch hazel. Heat it. You want the jewel weed with the orange flower, and you want the root of it, which should be red, and then you just cook it in the witch hazel. It doesn't have to boil or anything. Just, you know, kind of let it be warm together until the witch hazel turns orange.
Until the witch hazel, so it's very, just simmer it until it turns, the witch hazel turns orange.
Orange, right.
Okay, I can do
all
that.
Right. And it doesn't actually, you don't even actually have to simmer it. The witch hazel just has to be warm. It doesn't have to be boiling.
Oh, okay.
If you're doing it in water, you want boiling water, you really want to make a broth, but in the witch hazel, you just need to warm it up enough to get the red of the jewel weed in there. And Dr. James Duke, had overheard me talking about this on a weed walk at a conference, and he went home and asked himself, what is happening there? And he said that what he found was that the red coloring is the same as the red coloring in henna. It's called Rauwufia. And that Rauwufia is a very powerful agent for relieving swelling and itching and all kinds of skin problems.
Can you spell Rauwufia?
Look up henna. It's the botanical name of henna.
Oh, it is. Oh, okay. All right, I will do that. Oh, wow. Fascinating.
Isn't it?
Always something new. So that's your go-to.
So right now, I would have either ice cubes of it, or I would have it put up in witch hazel from last summer, because as we just agreed, it's just a little early. I'm eating witch hazel with the first true leaves, just 2 to 4 leaves in salads right now. But they're still very small, and the ones that I'm eating are the yellow ones, which you don't make as good a remedy. They're tall, and they have yellow flowers, and the roots are not as orange. So
you're talking about the jewel weed are very little?
There are 2 different kinds of jewel weed, an orange-flowered one and a yellow-flowered one.
Oh, yes. I only have seen the orange. And you say the yellow is not as good?
Not as good as the orange one, right.
Oh, I only have the orange when it comes. But I have no idea what it looks like when it's tiny. Oh, my gosh. I have to
because you're not going to harvest when it's tiny. You're not going to harvest it until it's big. It works out just fine.
Yeah, it has to have the flower. It has to have the flower.
Fine to harvest it with thin flower or, you know, you want the root to have a lot of color.
Yes, okay. And the stem is okay, too, or just the flower and the root?
The whole plant. You want the root to have a lot of color. The whole plant, root and all.
Okay, I've got it. And would you also...
leaves, flowers, the whole shebang.
Whole shebang. Okay, got it. And would you also, of course, I always drink, rotate comfrey. Should I be drinking more comfrey at this time or no?
Well, I don't see that it would make any difference.
No, I mean...
Poison ivy is, we were talking before about skin things. You know, we were talking about, well, is it like an infectious agent? Is that a mechanical thing? And this is definitely a mechanical thing.
Right.
You're exposed to poison ivy oil.
Right.
That's happened in the past.
Right.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of the, what is the saying, you know, don't lock the door after the horse has already gotten away?
Yeah.
Right. Humphrey's wonderful, wonderful for the skin, but it's not going to have any effect on the poison ivy rash.
Okay.
And all again, right, so just the witch hazel will work fine.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing I wanted to ask you about, the other topic. Thank you so much. Are you done suggesting things for that question? For the poison ivy? Okay, thanks so much. That's awesome. I have itching all over my body, and it kind of started for the scoliosis pain. The sports medicine doctor had been giving me injections into each trigger point, and it's the only thing that
injections
that
of me. Do you know what was being injected?
Sorry, lidocaine.
Okay.
Into each spot, each trigger point where he determined. All these years I've been suffering, and nobody ever mentioned to go to a sports medicine guy. It was, you know, physical therapy, you know, chiropractor, whatever. But this guy, he did this, and it's actually relieved the pain. I'd have to keep on going back. But scabs eventually formed all over my back from these injections into the trigger points. And like for months now, I've been dealing with my back, like I guess those scabs, they itch like crazy. And the poison ivy is like 10 times worse than the itching. Not that much, but the itching on my back is still there, and I was putting witch hazel on it. It didn't help much. So now that you bring up witch hazel for poison ivy, I'm wondering if I should try because it must be, you would consider it mechanical, right, too, from the needle being injected with lidocaine in a scab for me? So I'm thinking, would you say I should try the jewel weed too? On the scabs from the injections of all those spots where he was injecting me over a period of months, you know, I would go like every couple of weeks or so. Yeah?
So I'm unclear where you're going to get jewel weed.
No, I don't have it now. That's the thing. But in the future, once it comes up. But wait a minute. Yeah.
Well, you won't have this problem in the future. If these are scabs from injections, they'll be gone.
Well, no, but this is what I'm saying. It itches so bad that I end up scratching off the scabs because I can't seem, you know, to do anything. And they keep on coming back.
Ah, no, you haven't actually said that.
Oh, yeah.
So you're causing
a
lot of secondary infections by opening up wounds. I understand now.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not totally here. I didn't sleep much last night because the itching was so bad, not only on my back, but now the poison ivy. So I'm really not explaining it thoroughly, so sorry about that. Yeah.
Do you have any plantain oil?
I do not. Darn it.
Because plantain is the anti-itch herb. And it really, really stops itching, which is your primary complaint.
Yes.
For someone itching so much, my preference, but it's not something we can do right now, is to throw you in a bathtub full of jewel weed broth. I only make the witch hazel so I can have it at times when there isn't jewel weed around, but I actually find it far more effective to use it as the broth and to either drink it or to soak in it.
Okay,
but
so when you're talking about
For right now, what you really want to do is find some plantain oil somewhere.
Okay.
Better if it's not an ointment, better if it's just the oil. And again, remembering that Catskill Mountain Herbals makes a lot of single herb oils, and I believe the Red Moon Herbals does as well.
Catskill Mountain and Red Moon both sell the oil?
Mm-hmm, I believe so.
Oh, good. Okay, that's great.
That's great. And when I make the broth with water so that I can drink it, do I simmer that?
I take the whole plant. I rinse the dirt off of it.
Okay.
I put it in a pan. I put water in the pan to cover it and boil it until the water turns orange.
And boil it this time. Boil it till the water turns orange. Okay, so that's good. So am I back to jewelweed and plantain the same thing? Because you
plantain
said
is totally different. Plantain is a totally different plant.
Okay, so I'm not going to.
You want to buy some plantain oil because you don't have any.
Right.
And make a note to make them this year, so you will have it on hand. Right.
Did you say the jewelweed?
And then we're talking about the possibility of jewelweed in the future and ways that I like to use it for that possible future.
Great. Okay, so now the other thing the second thing I want to ask you about was my shooting nerve pain. It went away for a while, a few months, but I had it for a long time, and now it's back again. The shooting, sudden stabbing pains, and like it can come, it's like a jabbing shooting pain that's sudden and then goes away. It's like it can appear anywhere in my body, a toe.
Root clover, melilotus, for stabbing pain, against stabbing pain.
Really?
Yeah, I just asked Justine, I said, hey, didn't we make a video about sweet clover? Find that for the conference. And then, since she's driving, and doesn't have a lot of time to do things, I also, as I was doing the readings over the past week or so, did a little piece on sweet clover, melilotus, the tincture of the flowering tops of melilotus against stabbing pain.
Stabbing pain. I don't know if I know what sweet clover is. Is that the Dutch white clover or the yellow clover?
Melilotus can be yellow, yes. It's got, rather than balls of flowers, it's got long spikes of flowers. It's a roadside plant.
Yeah, I've not had it ever grow anywhere. I've just seen it in books, so I'm going to look for somewhere.
I bet you'll see it here. You know how plants are. As soon as we start calling their names, they come to us.
Oh, good. I'll be calling. I'll be singing.
Mella, lotus, mella, honey. Lotus, flower, honey, flower, oh, honey, flower.
Yes.
Honey, flower. Sappho wrote a poem comparing her lover very favorably to Mella, lotus.
I don't know if I got that one. I'm going to look for you.
Clovers in general are called bee suckle.
Bees?
Okay, so Sappho. Bee, B-E-E, suckle, a place where bees suck, the suckling of the bees is another name for the clovers, bee suckle. And, of course, we get clover honey because bees do love clover.
Yes.
Right, and Sappho, being a lesbian, when she's comparing her lover very favorably to sweet clover, is probably saying something like, let me be your bee, honey flower, you know?
Oh, gosh, you are so full of...
Very appropriate to May Day.
Yeah. Okay. Tomorrow's May Day.
Tomorrow's May Day.
So what am I supposed to do on May Day? Call the
fairies. If you want the fairies in your garden, the fairies like bright things. They like nice music. They like exhibitionism. They like parties.
Nice music.
Mhm.
Okay. So I want to call the fairies because why?
Because the fairy gate is opening tomorrow.
And what are they? And they're going to. What do the fairies do?
Well, it depends on who you ask. If you ask Walt Disney, then they're helpful fairy, you know, nature spirits. If you ask Findhorn, they might be nice nature spirits, or they might not. If you go to Ireland, they are definitely not nice. You really have to watch out for them.
Fairies are not nice in Ireland.
In Ireland, but you don't live there, so you don't have to worry.
No. Okay. Okay. Are fairies in all over the world?
Yes.
Okay. Are they nice in Poland?
You'll have to ask your grandmother.
Oh, gosh. Okay. All right. Okay, so that's your number one go-to for stabbing pains, shooting pains all over my body.
Melaleucus tincture. I take 3 drops of it every morning.
3 drops. Because you have stabbing pains.
You betcha, baby, I do.
Yeah,
they stab me.
They did stab me,
you know? They stabbed me repeatedly. Mm. My body still remembers it, but gradually it's forgetting, you know? I just say, don't hold it. Come on.
Okay, so that's your best guess. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, your number one go-to. I'm going to get on the phone tomorrow and order that sweet clover.
Sweet clover, melaleucus.
Tincture, you said tincture, and three
tincture.
and you only need 3 drops every morning. Is that what, or dropperfuls did you say?
3 drops.
3 drops. That's all.
Mhm.
That's amazing. Very, very good. Thank you. Thank you. So much, Susan.
You are so welcome. Green blessings.
Oh,
good night.
Green blessings to you. Have a good, very good evening, and a happy May Day. And fairies.
Happy May Day!
Bye-bye.
All right. And there are 3 callers that have pressed 1 with their hand raised. And we'll go to the next. And the 845 area code. And the 845, you have Susan.
Hi. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Hold on. Let me take you off a speaker.
Hi.
How are you? Ah, yeah.
Yes, good. Tell me what's up.
Well, this is Diane from the Nettle Patch.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, Susan. Diane. So, I was talking with my doctor today about roadside plants and what's out right now. And he mentioned a plant called coltsfoot. And I know what that looks like. It grows right on my road. And I had no idea it could be useful in any way. And he informed me if I liked mullein, then I would like that too. Do you have any experience with this plant? For particularly respiratory.
Have you heard of pyrrolizidine alkaloids?
Yeah, the PAs, yes.
PAs, okay.
Like
coltsfoot is loaded.
Comfrey.
Coltsfoot is loaded with them, and not the safe ones that are in comfrey.
Oh, it did say it was loaded, and when I read that, I thought, oh well, this is like that warning about comfrey. They're just going to say that, but every site said it, but then some didn't. They said no, people do use it, and I thought, well, hey, when? Probably when it's little
or when it's older. The flowers are used to make cough syrup.
The flowers for the cough syrup? Because it only takes the root.
Flowers used to make cough syrup. Not the root, not the leaves, the flowers.
Because you're
going to have the least pyrrolizidine alkaloids in the flowers. And one of the first times I was teaching in Germany, I remember the headline on the newspaper says, Hooflitic ist Teufelkraut. Hooflitic.
What does that mean?
Coltsfoot. Literally, coltsfoot. Hooflitic. Coltsfoot ist Teufelkraut. The devil's weed.
Oh, my.
A child had died from taking coltsfoot syrup. It was all removed from the shelves, only it turned out that although it said coltsfoot syrup, there was no coltsfoot in it.
Well, I believe that.
So, as so far as we know, coltsfoot flower syrup is safe. I myself have eaten coltsfoot leaves as a survival food.
Uh-huh.
They are tough.
They look tough.
They're not bitter. You know, they're okay, but it's primarily used as a smoke.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Just like mullein. I prefer smoking the mullein. I mean, I get the most benefit. In fact, thank you for reminding me, because I just had a respiratory infection or virus, and it slightly turned a little yellow, the mucus, you know, enough to be concerned, like, uh-oh. And I brought that up to the doctor today. He said, what are you doing for it? I said, just the mullein. My echinacea, I got to make a new batch. I keep putting it off, but anyway. He said, what about coltsfoot? You got coltsfoot grown around you? I was like, yeah, I do. But I never worked with it before. I better call Susan.
So you pick it and smoke it. Or
the
pick
leaves?
It, dry it, and it has a smudge. The leaves, yeah?
Yeah, and that's the...
It's way too late for the flowers.
Yeah, you know, every time I see them, the first thing in the spring, I think, oh, the dandelions are out. Nope, it's the coltsfoot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
So it highly recommend it drying the leaves, even for tea. I don't need to go that
far. Not
sure
that
I
would
just
use it as a tea. You could, as long as you use pretty short term. But
I'm going to just smoke it. So another thing he said was he was concerned because he checked my vitals, which basically is blood pressure, right, and temperature. And he said my blood pressure was markedly different than normal. And I felt that way for the last 5 days since I felt like I had this virus thing. And, he said, you're probably just stressed and in a lot of pain. And I'm like, yeah. And plus the arm that you just did my cuff in is the arm I just injured, like, I don't know, 5 months ago. Somebody slammed the car door on my arm.
Oh, ow.
So, yeah. But
you did it. You slammed the door yourself on your arm. Is that what you said?
No. One of the store clerks that was putting something in my car. He was a volunteer. It was one of those program thingies, and you know, I've had injuries before like this, and you know, what can you do? I just, you know, try to do the best can and figure. Live and let live, you know, and, but anyway, could it be just that the arm is damaged or it's just the respiratory thing? Because he literally wants to see me again, like, quickly, and I'm thinking, this is not him, this is not me, and what's going on?
How high your blood pressure was?
Yeah, he said it was like 190 over, like, almost 100.
That is very, very problematic.
Really? Okay. And you say I'm 120 over 80 like clockwork.
Exactly.
And I have not felt good for 5 days.
Our low dog became an MD because people were walking into her clinic with those kinds of pictures, and she wanted to be able to put them on drugs.
I feel a little foggy and I wouldn't say dizzy, but like fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
Fuzzy, yeah. Like I feel like I'm talking loud and there's an echo in my head, and I just, my whole body feels like just kind of tight, icky, but fuzzy.
Mm.
Not like, you know, hard like a rock, but like fuzzy. I've never described anything like that on myself before.
So, I'm seeing a rolling stone with moss on it. What?
Maybe that's my problem. Maybe I should do that. I feel like on grounded. But anyway, I want to thank you for your book. I'm up to the third chapter, and I love it. It is.
Is that Abundantly Well?
Yes.
Menopause?
And I.
Which book?
Abundantly Well.
Abundantly Well. All right.
And thank you for the salutation. And I opened it up to the middle, and I have a homemade bookmark a friend gave to me. It's very pretty. And I am in the gap, 144 to 145.
In the gap.
I am in
How
the gap.
Perfect. Start the gap.
It is
yep.
perfect. I just keep reading it. Oh, I get chills just talking about reading it because it is so thrilling. And energetic and honest and just right down to the nitty-gritty. It's amazing. It's really a testament to your skill as an author. And I thank you for doing and leaving us with this gift.
A book that was 20 years in the making. Wow.
I can imagine. It feels like it's going to take me 20 years to understand it. I did have a little bit of a head start, so yeah, I guess, you know, but
you know the fact
that I'm just stuck on this one middle of the book section and the drawing with the mountain going up and going down and talking about everybody thinks it's go easier going up, but no, it's not. That really enthralls me. It does. So
Durga Yael and I worked back and forth on that illustration for a long time before we really got it to be just right.
It is, to look at each...
To convey everything in the book in one image. Whew! Wasn't easy.
Oof. No, and I realized what a gold mine I landed on just by just saying, please show me the way, and there it was. And I was like, yep, that's it.
Yep.
That's it. You know, I am looking at other parts of the book, too, but the book... Mark will remain right there forever and ever and ever. And you will remain that way in my heart too, Susan. And I love you so much and just wanted to say that.
I take that in. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Good night. Dream blessings.
All right. And it looks like one of our calls dropped off, but there is one hand that is raised. And dialed in from the 513 area code. From the 513, you are live with Susan.
Okay. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Okay. This is an interesting situation. I had a CAT scan with iodine contrast and had a bad reaction and went to my GP. And he gave me steroids for a week, and that didn't help. I had, like, burning and tightness on top of my head. And he couldn't do anything about it. So then I went to a naturopath, and he suggested IV chelation therapy for removal of chemicals. Well, do you know about chelation?
I'm sorry, do I know what?
Chelation?
Yes, I know about chelation.
Okay, I had it done about 6 months ago, and it left me with... my heart started beating really fast, and I start to have shakes, like internal shakes. And it was like 3 days after I had the chelation therapy, and my nerves were like shot from this. And I would like try to fall asleep, and then I'd have like this shock of like, no, you can't fall asleep. You got to stay awake, and that would be continuous. But during that, while my heart was beating fast, my doctor put me on a beta blocker, and that gave me problems, so I went off of that. And after that, it just turned into insomnia. Now, I have chronic insomnia right now from the whole thing, and I don't know what to do about it or what avenue to go down. Right now, I have a prescription for a sleeping pill, and I also have an antidepressant drug because I'm trying to control this, and I don't know what's going on.
I hear you. And you're in a situation by perhaps a unique root situation that quite a few people are in, especially with your prescription for a sleeping pill and an antidepressant.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, those two prescriptions taken together are like a real fast track to dementia.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good idea to avoid those things, if at all possible. When you asked me if I knew about chelation, what I know about it is enough to tell people to avoid it at all costs.
Right.
Yeah, there's no benefit in general from it, except in a very few isolated situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I would almost guarantee you that all of the contrast dye is still in your body.
Okay.
Because it's kind of like somebody saying, let's burn a hole in your blouse to get rid of the oil stain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like, whoa, wait a second. Destroying me isn't a way to cure me.
Right.
So when you say you have insomnia, do you have a problem going to sleep?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it led to that. Everything was fine. I felt good. I had the chelation to get rid of, you know, I felt normally good. I just had that irritation to get rid of that burning that I had and that tightness in my head. When the doctor said the chelation gets rid of the chemicals, now I thought about it for a couple of months and I read reviews and this and that, and I thought maybe I'll just go with it, you know, and it just progressed from one issue to another, and now I'm just stuck with this insomnia.
What you need to understand is that chelation is break and enter. It's break and enter, and whenever we engage in break and enter, we are breaking.
Yes.
So it's not the kind of thing that one would want to just go with.
Right.
Yes, if there's a really, you know, first-class reason, but again, my experience and my reading does not lead me to believe that the claims that it gets rid of chemicals are supported.
Or heavy metals or whatever.
Heavy metals are different.
Yeah, yeah.
And seaweed gets rid of heavy metals just fine, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy metals are in circulation. The contrast dye you were given is not in circulation anymore.
Do you have the iodine, you're saying? Iodine with ihexyl?
You said that they used a high contrast dye, yes?
Yeah, they used iodine contrast.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the MRIs, it's the CAT, so they're just
so
different.
If it was merely iodine, then the iodine is long since gone. And if it was a high contrast dye, in addition to that, then it can't be removed. So either there was nothing there to ever remove, or it can't be removed, basically.
Okay. So now,
and what
I
usually suggest for the kinds of symptoms that you're talking about is acupuncture.
I tried that. It didn't do anything. I mean, if anything, it made my arms, and my legs just feel really relaxed. But it didn't do anything for sleep at all whatsoever.
Oh, I wasn't talking about sleep. I was talking about tightness that you had the chelation therapy for. Isn't that what you told me? Did I get that wrong?
Yeah. No. You got it right. Yeah, I didn't do that.
Rather than the chelation, which would be the last-ditch thing.
I know.
And I don't think acupuncture would be at all effective for sleeplessness.
Right, right.
Now, what I'm going to suggest is that you go to healthylife.net. It's a radio station, an online radio station. I have a program. It's a monthly program. You'll have to look for me. There's lots of other people who have programs, but just ask for the Susan Weed program, and it'll come up. This year's theme is herbs for sleep.
Okay, and what's the website called again?
Healthy Life Net. HealthyLife.net. HealthyLife.net.
Yeah.
And let's see. So far this year, I've talked about chamomile and valerian,
right,
and ashwagandha and skullcap.
Right.
And one or more of these herbs prepared appropriately will be an ally for you.
That they would be an ally?
Absolutely. One or more of these will be an ally for you. There's going to be 12 altogether for the whole year, but we're just to May, so I've only done January, February, March, April, May, right? But you can go, and the shows that I've already done this year are archived. So you can listen to all the ones that I've done. And then if you want, if you know, try out one or more of those. Give it a good try. People are very individual.
Okay.
But it's an hour-long radio show. And as you know, I'm very specific about what part of the plant, when it's harvested, exactly how it's prepared, and exactly how it's used. And I find that lacking in a lot of herbal discussions and herbal books.
Right. So do you think I'll ever, like, get over this, like this shakiness and sleeplessness?
Of course. That's the nature of life, is that it always changes.
So there is a possible healing then. So you're saying a combination?
One or more of the hypnotic herbs will be your ally. My good friend Kialis said to me that she didn't want to sleep with her husband anymore because not only was he taking a sleeping pill to go to sleep, but he was waking up in the middle of the night and taking another one. It was ruining her marriage.
Because that's absolutely
and,
me. Like,
and I suggested that he try some skullcap, one of my favorite sleeping herbs. And what's really important about skullcap is it has to be made from the fresh plant material. If people who've tried skullcap as tablets or capsules or a tincture in high-proof alcohol from dried plant material aren't going to get very good results with skullcap, truthfully. And it's interesting, in preparing for the show on skullcap, I went back and read herbals that are like 150 years old. That's what everybody was saying then is, oh, you know, most people will say skullcap doesn't work because they're not using the fresh plant material. And so I suggested that he take 5 drops of skullcap tincture in small amount of water before he went to sleep, and that he at that time prepare another dose in a small amount of water or infusion, another 5 drops, and have it right by his bedside. And that before he went to sleep, that he turned off everything electric and lit a candle.
Okay.
And to listen to music or read or meditate or whatever you want to do for a short period of time by candlelight, whatever pleases you, at least 5 minutes. But what we want to do is we want to settle your nervous system down.
Yeah, because like when it
most
sleep,
nervous systems can't go from electric light to dark that quickly.
Right.
So we're going to give it some candlelight.
Okay.
Some low-level light, and that will actually kind of kickstart your body into the sleep cycle.
Okay.
If then, you know, then you take your skull cap, you blow out the candle, and if you're not asleep in 10 minutes, then you light the candle again and you take your second dose of skull cap.
Okay.
And you do something by candlelight for
short period of time,
mm-hmm.
and you blow the candle out.
Okay. And this is just the skull cap you're suggesting?
That's all. But it's got to be the tincture of the fresh plant.
So you have to make it yourself? You have to, like, get the plant and boil the water and all that?
I believe that Catskill Mountain Herbals has tincture of fresh skull cap.
Okay, so in the bottle, all ready to go?
In the bottle, all ready to go.
With the dropper, you're saying?
I'm saying 3 to 5 drops.
Okay.
Of
instead
fresh
cap.
And that you make
instead
a
that?
Dose.
Okay.
You make a dose in one glass, and you make a dose in a second glass, and you have a candle. And you turn off everything electric, have the candle on, read or listen to music or meditate, whatever you want to do, lying down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The candle on, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, however long you want it. If you're reading and you're interested, it can go on. That's fine. It's not a problem. There's no rush. But when you're ready to blow the candle out, you take your dose of skullcap that you have prepared, and you blow the candle out. And if you're not asleep in 10 minutes, then you light the candle again and take your second dose. And again, read, listen to music, do something for a little while by candlelight, and then blow it out. And much as I would love to talk to you, it's time for our guests. So I'm going to wish you green blessings and good night.
Okay.
And welcome. And
really,
I'm
really
going to
close.
Welcome Janice Gaylant. Janice is an artist, a writer, a mystic, and a guide for women's personal empowerment, and the founder of Soulfully Aligned Women. Janice brings a rich tapestry of experience as both an acclaimed artist and a seasoned educator. With her art sold globally, she has channeled her expertise into fostering an environment where creativity serves as a bridge to one's higher power. As a published author, Janice harnesses the transformative power of art, guiding women to manifest their heart's desires, access their mystic within, and empowering them through the intricate dance of deeper intuition, clear intentions, color, and visioning. Her passion for teaching is matched only by her commitment to nurturing the soul's potential through conscious creation. Her meditative journeys activate light codes within each woman, revealing her empowerment and gifts, as well as the cosmic support available to her. Janice is not just a teacher. She's a fellow traveler, eager to empower you to uncover and harness the creative force that pulses within. With her guidance, you'll learn to recognize your own deeply personal journey of self-actualization and co-creative dance with the universe. Join her and prepare to unlock the boundless co-creative power that lies in the union of your heart, soul, and the majestic cosmos. Thank you for being with us, Janice.
Hello, Susan. It is wonderful and an honor to be here with you.
Oh, my goodness. I was reading your bio to the people who are here for dinner with me, and they were really taken by the whole idea of being a creative mystic. Can you tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about that?
Absolutely, yeah. So, well, starting with, you know, the definition of a mystic is anyone that really desires to deepen their relationship with, you know, their soul, with the cosmic source, whatever they believe that to be, the divine force, the universe, the creator, whatever, God force. But it's just the knowing that there's something there bigger than us and that we have access to that wisdom and power through our soul. We are a piece of that. So then using your creativity, because creativity really opens that gateway up, the first thing when people do go through a personal transformation, you know, some oftentimes it's a difficult time in their life that brings them, you know, to their knees going, oh my gosh, like this can't be all there is and I need something more. And they start to search and do some inner work and inner searching. They'll feel a real rise in their creativity. They'll be like, I just feel like I want to learn how to paint, or I just feel like I want to get my hands in the dirt and do more gardening and, you know, reconnect with that. Even like molding the clay, singing, dancing, all of this rises up within us. And so it really is, does really open up that gateway into our soul. So when we combine both the creativity along with, you know, the conversations and the topics that will help us awaken more, it's pretty powerful.
Certainly seems like it. Wow.
Yeah.
How did you come to this?
Well, it's kind of been in the making my entire life. So even as a young child, I've always been a spiritual seeker. And, you know, I was the kid that was going and knocking on the neighbor's door saying, can I go to church with you? Because we didn't go to church in my family. We didn't have any specific beliefs. So I was just searching constantly. And I went to, you know, many different churches and investigated all of them. And I actually, my personal awakening came when I connected with the Indigenous people in my area. So the First Nations in Ontario. And they invited me into their circle, their medicine woman, Medeoan Society. And that's where I started really finding, you know, that spiritual connection of like, okay, now I feel like I'm home. This makes sense. So it's very, very much based in the shamanic traditions and healing medicines, herbs, crystals, that sort of thing, journeying. And then I've always also been an artist. My father was an artist, so he taught me how to paint when I was just a little kid. And so there was that creative side, there was the spiritual seeking, and then later in my life, I became a teacher. And so I loved teaching. And then, you know, in hindsight, it's like those three paths all came together. So I've been on the personal development, conscious self-consciousness growth, empowerment, manifesting journey, spiritual journey for about 30 years, like serious journey since I started in that shamanic circle. And then the creativity was just always there for me. And I just, you know, 8 years ago, I decided I couldn't do the classroom teaching anymore. I was starving the creative side, and I really wanted to talk about things that we don't talk about in the school system. And so, yeah, I wrote my book, and I started to teach little groups of women and gathered, and it's all just really evolved since then. So it's been a beautiful journey.
Yeah. Tell us about your book.
Oh, okay. So my book, I wrote it in 2017, I think. 2018 was when it was published. It's called The Creation Guild. And it's almost like a guidebook that walks you through the beginning steps of becoming a conscious manifestor, recognizing that we are the creators of our life. We are the artists of our own life, and where to start. It's a little bit of my own story entwined in there. And then a lot of downloads that have come through for me. And on that walk, that manifestation journey, so that we can become conscious creators. And that is very not new information for people anymore. But when I started, it was not something that a lot of people talked about. So I really felt the need and the desire to write the book, and that's what I did, and that began the journey of Soulfully Aligned Women.
Mm-hmm. All right, now you're going to have to tell us about Soulfully Aligned Women.
Go through the process here. All right, so Soulfully Aligned Women is it's a place for women to come. It's where transformation begins. It holds programs, circles, free things for people, as well as paid programs. And it's just a space for women to come to really embrace their true self, to deepen their connection with their soul, to tap into their intuitive gifts and become that mystic. You know, a lot of my programs, I have a really big program that is called the Soulfully Aligned Creative Mystic Certification Program. And it's a 9-month journey, and it really does incorporate a lot of the spiritual psychic gifts that come through. Also, when we start to dive into all of this, you get more intuitive, and, you know, you might be writing things that you never thought you could, you know, information coming through when you're writing and that sort of thing, as well as deepening their own soul journey. And so Soulfully Aligned Women is like a container that holds all of this. There's free, I have a Facebook group. It's a private Facebook group, but it's open to anyone that wants to join. I am also on Instagram in Soulfully Aligned Women, and I go in every morning, Monday to Thursday, and start the day off with just a free little message of inspiration for the day and meditation to get you started in your heart center. So it's all about living from your heart, from your soul residing in your heart, and your heart, of course, being where we want to be living from, instead of from fears and anger or ego. And, you know, so we can come into our hearts and start there, full alignment. And so
to our soul, yes. Find what grandmother Twyla calls the within, the within, the within.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. And the further in you go, the more beautiful your life becomes. Like, it's just a profound shift for people.
So you have just told women that the Soulfully Aligned Women is a group. It's a space. It's a safe place. It's what you had as a child, a creative home atmosphere where your creativity was cherished.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so.
I bet nobody told you you ever made bad art.
Yeah. No, they were really, really great about nurturing that part in me, and just saying, you know, keep going,
so
keep
you
going.
Have it, and know, sell deep how to offer that to those who weren't so fortunate to have parents who did that for them, and that once that's initiated in a person's life. Although you will always have a special place and part in their life, they can activate that thereafter themselves.
Oh, absolutely. So the painting process that we go through is very much, you know, sometimes it's like, okay, we're going to tap into the energy of wolf and what wolf means. And in my group, we also talked about Women Who Run With Wolves by Clarissa Pinkola Estes. And so then we took that to the canvas, and it's like bringing the energy of wolf out, and how does wolf energy align with what we're working through right now? And, you know, it's a very intuitive, playful process. So we play on the canvas, we write words, affirmations, you know, put our focused intention into the canvas. We always begin with meditation first, and then go into the canvas and just play. And I demonstrate, and I do teach a lot of, you know, art, how to paint as we go along, but it's not the serious, like, this is not something that you're going to want to sell, although a lot of women do move into that. But it's something for you personally. It's a transformation for you. And messages will come through on that canvas. And sometimes it's, you know, just in the way you lay the paint down and you sit back and go, oh my gosh, like, I'm seeing something here. I'm seeing, you know, this symbol, this beautiful spiral symbol. And of course, that's then, you know, a beautiful symbol of being on a journey or beginning a new journey. And so you can talk about that. So it often becomes like a portal, like an oracle card reading for yourself, where messages can come through your soul, through your spirit team, and also you get to put your full expression. It's like, oh, I really want to claim that power, that feeling of freedom of running with the wolves, like, and that's that divine feminine power rising up within you and claiming that. So it's a sacred journey. It really is. And the paintings.
Christmas.
yeah, right? And the paintings then become something that you go to because it's beautiful, it's profound. So when we have questions, we can always go to the canvas and play.
Mm-hmm. And move our energy so it doesn't get stuck.
Yes. Yes. And also express it there. So we're channeling it in the right place and figuring it out there rather than on someone else.
Right. Much better to have a blank canvas on your easel than a blank canvas on your beloved.
That's right. I love that.
So would you please share with women the best way to get in touch with you? So in case they want to participate in this, they can.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I do have, you can just Google Janice Gallant Art and a lot comes up. Soulfully Aligned Women is my social media tag. So on Instagram or on Facebook, you can find me there. As I said, the Facebook group is private, so that it's not just anyone in there. It's a nice, safe container, but you can ask to join. I also have an app. You could download an app, Soulfully Aligned Women, on your phone, and you would get access to free meditations, free painting workshops in there, and some other, just some master classes that I offered. And so that's another way to get started, to get to know me. But yeah, I have a Teachable account. So Janice Gallant Teachable, that's always just Google. You'll find me.
Okay. And for those of you who are spelling impaired, that's J-A-N-I-C-E, Janice Gallant, G-A-L-L-A-N-T, Gallant, Janice Gallant. And she's talking about soul. Soulfully Aligned, SOULFULLYALIGNED, Soulfully Aligned Women. So find her there. Now, when I looked over what you had sent in, what really tweaked my curiosity was the guided meditations that you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've become kind of front and center.
Is it possible to do one while we're together tonight?
Oh, absolutely. We have a couple minutes here. I can give you, like, this is the meditation that gets you into alignment right away. And
ooh, yes.
Yes, and it is imperative for whenever I create sacred space, I always do this alignment first, this alignment meditation. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so I will get everyone just to get yourself comfortable. Try to have your spine straight and close your eyes. Take in some nice, long, deep breaths, breathing in through your nose, long and deep, and breathing out through your mouth in a big sigh. And I want you to do that three more times at your own pace. Just breathing in long, slow, deep breaths. And when you let go, just imagine releasing everything from your day. Letting go of all thoughts and worries. Just being here, right now, in this moment. So just take a couple more long, slow, deep breaths. And when you feel you're ready, come back to your normal breathing pattern and bring your awareness into your heart. And just feel into your heart space for a minute here, breathing into your heart. Imagine that there is a beautiful spark of light there. And as you breathe into your heart, this light begins to grow into a beautiful ball of light, maybe the size of an orange. And as you breathe more into this, it continues to grow. And I want you to remember the feelings of love and gratitude when you most felt it in your life, when you most felt that overflowing love. And oftentimes it's when we've held a baby to our heart, or a pet, or been held in the arms of a loved one, unconditional love. Just notice how this expands your heart. This softens and opens your heart space. And just feel into that beautiful gratitude for this love, for having had those moments of deep love, perhaps even standing on the earth, watching the sunrise or sunset, and the deep love for Mother Earth. So let this continue to grow and expand the size of a soccer ball, a beach ball, and see it growing so big that it is all around you, and you're standing in this beautiful light orb of your heart frequency, and it is safe. It is safe to let your heart light grow. And now I want you to be standing in that light orb and imagine a beautiful channel of light going from your heart straight down your body, down your legs, through your feet, all the way down to the heart of Mother Earth. And imagine Mother Earth is there. And she is so happy to see you. She greets you with a warm hug. She welcomes you into the cave of her heart. She welcomes you in, wants to nurture you. She may even wrap you in a blanket, set you up on a cozy chair, bring you warm soup, nurturing food. And let that beautiful warmth and love and nurturance come back up, because she wants to send you her love. and nurture you. So let that come back up. Breathe it up into your body. Breathe it up your spine. Breathe it into your heart. Breathe it into every cell and fiber of your body. And feel her strength, her vitality, her nurturance. And then from your heart, let that light go all the way up. Going all the way up into the universe, to the brightest light, to the source of all that is. Imagine looking up and seeing this beautiful bright light. And allow that light to flow down like a waterfall of light flowing down, down into your heart, down through the center of your body, all the way down to Mother Earth, anchoring you in deeper, sending more light down to her. And then let it shower all around you, cleansing your field, cleansing your body, washing away anything you no longer need, filling up with this light. Breathe in and breathe out. And spend as much time as you need here, feeling yourself fully aligned, heart to heart to heart. So heart of the universe to your heart, to the heart of Mother Earth, aligned and centered. And then when you're ready, come on back.
Do we have to?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. It's from that centered alignment that you want to create from. Create with your clear intentions, to be in prayer, to ask for guidance, to seek guidance or inspiration, and to move forward in the world in this place, strong and centered.
Heart to heart to heart.
Yes. And if you could see, I have actually created a painting of that. That beautiful alignment. So that is something that people see when I do meditation in the morning. It's always behind me. But thank you for allowing me to do that. That's beautiful. But yeah,
thank
so
you
this guided
so much
meditation,
for
you're welcome. It is in the Soulfully Aligned Women app in the free section. It's there for everyone to access because I think it's so important. And then, There are other programs. I have the Sanctuary, which is a library of guided meditations, but it's a subscription, so $11 a month. And then also more programs, so lots to offer anybody seeking that deeper soul alignment in whatever way that they believe.
What would you like to leave in the minds and the hearts? Everyone who's listening, unfortunately, we've come to the end of the show, and it's a blog talk show, and they're really severe astound. So your last few words here.
Yes, well, I do truly believe that our soul alignment is the place of peace. That's when peace will come to our world, is when we are all in that soulful alignment. And it's just being in your heart and being open to that beautiful wisdom that we have access to, that we can look within instead of the outer circumstances. It is the place that you can find the calm in the storm, in the chaos that is going on around us. And it helps guide us through these difficult times. And, you know, peace begins within. And that's the shift as we all move in. And that can be, you know, through guided meditations. That can also be from being in nature, walking meditations. That's one thing I say in my groups. It's like, if you can't sit and close your eyes, don't worry about it. Listen to the meditation as you paint. Listen to the meditation as you walk. There are so many different ways of doing it. So I will leave it with that because I know you're on a time constraint here. And I'm so grateful that you brought me on here. Thank you so much, and thank you for all you do, too.
Thank you, Janice. You know, I believe that we are reweaving the healing cloak of the ancients.
Oh,
and I want to thank you for drawing that thread, that very clear thread, from the cosmos through the human heart to the earth heart, and to weaving that into this great reweaving. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So welcome.
And I'll see you tomorrow at the first Zoom session for the Red Clover Conference. Green blessings. Good night, everybody.